Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The confrontation between Shapur Bakhtiar and Ayatollah Khomeini has been delayed. The long-exiled Muslim religious leader had been scheduled to leave France tonight and land in Tehran tomorrow. Now he plans to arrive there on Sunday. Joan Shaw reports from Paris.
The decision to postpone his departure until Sunday was announced this morning by Khomeini's spokesman. They denounced Prime Minister Shapur Bakhtiar and his government for having closed all Iranian airports and said it was proof of continuing oppression and foreign domination in Iran. Bakhtiar has asked Khomeini not to return to Iran for at least 3 weeks on grounds that the government could not guarantee his safety. A well-placed source here says the airports were deliberately closed in order to give Khomeini a face-saving reason to delay his return. Other observers believe Khomeini has been forced to back down for the first time in his crusade. In either case, Khomeini's millions of followers in Iran will not be happy about the postponement, and they could conceivably express their disappointment with renewed strikes and demonstrations. Joan Shaw for CBS News, Paris.
A demonstration in favor of Bakhtiar and the Shah took place in Tehran this morning, and Richard Roth was on the scene.
Tens of thousands of demonstrators are filling Baharistan Square in front of the buildings that house the Iranian parliament, waving paper, red, white, and green Iranian flags, shouting, "We are for the Constitution, we are for freedom. Long live the Shah, and Prime Minister Bakhtiar is our leader." At curbside, dozens of soldiers and police, all armed, but there has been no violence. In fact, many in the crowd rush up to the police and military men to kiss them, embrace them, and shout support. This is the third day of demonstrations supporting the government, and today's is by far the largest. But it is also clearly well orchestrated, and many people here are saying the army and the government pass the word to their loyalists, demonstrate today, or your salaries will not be paid. Richard Roth, CBS News, Tehran.
Demonstrations of support for Bakhtiar have also been reported elsewhere in Iran. President Carter this morning sent Congress his annual economic message, in which he declares that reducing inflation must be the country's top economic priority. Inflation, he says, poses a serious threat to the nation's continued economic health, and we must persist until the battle is won. Sounding the same note, Federal Reserve Board Chairman G. William Miller is telling the House Budget Committee that a period of austerity is needed to beat inflation, but Miller says the country should be able to avoid a recession this year, although unemployment may rise slightly. Defense Secretary Harold Brown is going before the Senate Armed Services Committee at this hour to explain the proposed military budget for the next fiscal year. CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas reports.
Called the Secretary's annual posture statement, the 1980 document labels the Soviet Union as America's main adversary and notes the Soviets' military surge over the past 10 years has been aimed at using their power to gain political influence around the world, either through intimidation, arms sales, or direct involvement in trouble spots such as Africa. In asking for the Congress to approve a record $122.7 billion 1980 defense budget, Brown, in his prepared statement to the committee, says the money is needed to keep up with the Russian military buildup, both in terms of strategic nuclear forces and conventional forces in Europe. Without the money, says Brown, national security cannot be assured. But congressional liberals, blacks, and other special interest groups see it otherwise. They have promised to fight to cut what Brown labels as an austere defense budget to keep their own programs from being depleted. The annual budget battle on Capitol Hill is expected to last through the spring. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Congressman Daniel Flood, now being tried on federal bribery and perjury charges, has decided to withdraw from the chairmanship of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor and HEW. Flood has held the post since 1967. An aide says the Pennsylvania Democrat is giving it up because of the great demands on his time. Great Britain's labor difficulties are coming up again today in Parliament. The House of Commons is debating a Tory motion expressing concern over the deteriorating economic and industrial situation. Susan Peterson has the story in London.
Once again, the Conservative opposition is trying to back Britain's Labour government into a parliamentary corner, asking embarrassing questions about the present state of industrial troubles in this country. There have been such debates before in the past few weeks, but this afternoon, the Tory party has additional ammunition. A Birmingham hospital sent 65 cancer patients home because striking porters refused to allow medical supplies through their picket line. And the government now admits it may have to use troops to ensure the delivery of these and other essential supplies, halted by a truck driver's strike. There will be a vote after today's crisis debate, and the government is expected to win it by a narrow margin. But it will still have a hard time ignoring the growing public anger in this country over the strike situation. Susan Peterson, CBS News, London.
Pope John Paul II left Rome today for the Dominican Republic and Mexico. It's the first foreign journey of his pontificate. Sam Ford reports that the Pope is scheduled to arrive in the Dominican Republic a few hours from now.
It will be the first time a Pope has ever visited this tiny Spanish-speaking nation, where some 95% of the people are Catholic. From the airport, the Pope will ride 20 miles into the capital city of Santo Domingo in an open automobile. In early evening, he will celebrate an open-air mass, and later will visit with Dominican political leaders at the National Palace. The Pope had originally planned to stop over here only briefly to refuel his plane on the way from Italy to Mexico, but the Dominicans asked and got him to stay longer. Tomorrow morning, the Pope will celebrate Mass at the Cathedral of Santo Domingo, the oldest cathedral in the Western Hemisphere, and the burial place of Christopher Columbus, the man who brought Christianity with him here in 1492. On the way back to the airport tomorrow, the Pope will tour one of the poorest sections of Santo Domingo, Los Minas. In Los Minas, as elsewhere in the city, people have been busy cleaning the streets to put their best forward to Pope visits. Sam Ford, CBS News, Santo Domingo.
The pontiff is due in Mexico City tomorrow afternoon. Hundreds of thousands of people have been pouring into the capital to greet him, and all hotels are reported booked to capacity. It's the same grimly familiar story today in Chicago. Heavy snow is still disrupting normal life. And now, as we hear from Jackie Castleberry, a sad new note has been added.
In its efforts to dig out from one of the toughest winters in many years, Chicago has turned to hiring outside help. In one case, it resulted in tragedy. 45-year-old Thomas Blair, a fireman from a nearby suburb, stunned co-workers and bystanders last night when he began ramming cars with his snow grader. Eyewitnesses say Blair rapidly swerved down 13 city blocks and onto the highway. In his wake, he left behind one man dead, four women injured, and about 35 damaged cars. Authorities say Blair was intoxicated and charged him with reckless homicide. Meanwhile, the temperature dropped to near zero overnight in the city, which could make plowing more difficult, and commuters using rapid transit are still finding it hard to get to work and around the city. Jackie Castleberry, CBS News, Chicago.
The same holds true for many other areas of the Midwest. In large parts of the Northeast, not snow, but heavy rain, aggravated by high winds, has caused severe flooding. U.S. Middle East negotiator Alfred Atherton took his latest peace moves today to Cairo from Jerusalem, where Dan Raviv reports that Israeli officials are now talking about genuine progress.
Atherton and the Israelis agreed on a letter of interpretation which Israel is to receive in parallel with a letter Egypt is to get from the United States. That way, Egypt can reserve the right to help a fellow Arab country under aggression. And Israel is assured that the continued occupation of the West Bank and Golan Heights is not aggression, and that Israeli retaliation against terrorism is not aggression. Sources say Atherton also persuaded Israel to agree to review the demilitarized zones in the Sinai whenever Egypt wants. There was no progress on the third issue Atherton was working on, the extent, if any, to which this peace treaty will be linked to setting up Palestinian autonomy. Israel still rejects any link. It's expected here that Atherton will try to win Egypt's approval for the tentative compromises he achieved in Israel. Then Atherton is expected back in Jerusalem tomorrow or Saturday, perhaps ready to arrange another round of direct talks between Egyptian and Israeli foreign ministers. And that's where the last issue blocking the signature of a treaty will be the linkage to autonomy. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Jerusalem.
The U.S. dollar opened higher today on all of the European exchanges except Brussels. It was down a fraction in Tokyo, losing slightly against the Japanese yen. Gold prices declined a trifle in London and Zurich.
I'm Douglas Edwards reporting on the CBS Radio Network. An estimated 50,000 demonstrators marched through Tehran today in support
of Premier Bakhtiar. The Associated Press reports that a public backlash against Ayatollah Khomeini is becoming more visible after months of near silence by Iranians opposed to the religious leader's plans to redesign the country along Islamic lines. The army has now banned all demonstrations for the time being. In Paris, Khomeini has denounced the closing of Tehran's airports as treason and says he will return to Iran to destroy the Bakhtiar government. All flights to Tehran have been banned until Sunday night. In this country, Defense Secretary Harold Brown had a date with the Senate Armed Services Committee today. Questions about the Pentagon's money requests and other matters. Ike Pappas reports.
Secretary Brown said the Russians last year deployed about 1,000 new and more accurate nuclear warheads, twice as many as the United States expected. General Jones added that the Russians have, over the years, closed the military gap between the world's two superpowers.
The work is across the spectrum. Command and control, air defense, civil defense, all of the aspects of strategic power. On the other hand, our programs and our actions have been characterized by more than a decade of cuts, slips, and reductions.
Secretary Brown said the Russians over the past 20 years have spent between 25 and 45% more for their military than the United States, and that the record 1980 defense budget is necessary if America is to keep pace. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Congressional Black Caucus, much disturbed today about the president's budget, calling it immoral and unjust in its treatment of the nation's poor and disadvantaged. Some of the strongest criticisms so far against the new money outlay. More news straight ahead.
Snow. Slush. Now you've got it. A cold. Maybe the flu. You want something strong yet safe for your aching muscles, aching bones, aching head. Misery's the leading cold capsule can't help, but Anacin can. All leading pain relievers are safe for those aches and pains, used as directed. But Anacin has more pain reliever than any regular strength tablet. Anacin. Safety with extra strength to relieve fever, aches, and pains of colds and flu. Use only as directed.
Spaghetti and meatballs. From Chef Boyardee.
It's a real Italian meal with taste to feel for all your family.
Your whole family will love Chef Boyardee's spaghetti and meatballs. Tender spaghetti with plump meatballs, all in a tomato and cheese sauce. And you'll love the price. Still less than 30 cents a serving when you buy a 40-ounce family-size can.
Boyardee.
Oh, boy!
The leader of the world's more than 700 million Catholics arrived in Santo Domingo today, and on the plane taking him there, confirmed during an unprecedented chat with newsmen that he will visit the United States and France at later dates. Sam Ford is in the Dominican Republic with the Papal Party.
Pope John Paul II traveled from the airport to Santo Domingo in a specially constructed vehicle, which resembled a white parade float with a canopy on top. As he traveled, he waved at the thousands who lined the 20-mile route. The destination of the motorcade was the Cathedral of Santo Domingo, the oldest cathedral in the Western Hemisphere, the place where Christopher Columbus, who discovered this island, is buried. In and around the cathedral, there were thousands of people. They were cheering, and in a ceremony inside, the choir was singing the Hallelujah Chorus. The Pope will celebrate a Mass this evening at Santo Domingo's Independence Plaza, and 3,000 people are expected to attend. The Pope, assisted by 300 Dominican clergy, will give communion to some 80,000 people. Sam Ford, CBS News, Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic.
Senator Edward Kennedy, the new chairman of the Judiciary Committee, has declared war on one of the Senate's most sacred political patronage plums. Kennedy gave word today he's ending the time-honored system, allowing a senator to blackball any prospective federal judgeship nominee from his state. Now this.
Hello, I'm Pat Thomas, defensive cornerback for the Los Angeles Rams. I'll be playing on the NFC squad in this year's Pro Bowl, Monday, January the 29th. Listen here for CBS Radio Sports live coverage.
We're all going to listen here for the Pro Bowl game, Monday, January 29th, when the hard-hitting AFC and NFC squads go head-to-head in this year's wrap-up of pro football postseason play. CBS Radio Sports' Jack Buck and Hank Stram will be there in the Los Angeles Coliseum to bring you all the play-by-play action. Pat Summerall will be there, too, for pregame halftime and postgame color. Full live coverage begins at 8:50 Eastern Time. So listen here for the big three, Jack, Hank, and Pat, with all the excitement of this year's Pro Bowl game, Monday night, January 29th, from the L.A. Coliseum. Game time again is 8:50 Eastern on CBS, your number one radio network for news, programs, and sports.
More favorable earnings reports out today, the latest from Exxon, reporting it nearly doubled its profits during the fourth quarter over the corresponding period the year before. Stocks closed higher. The Dow Jones was up about 8.25 points. It stands at 854.64. Average price per share up 30 cents. Today's volume, 31,440,000 shares. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.
As a follow-up on his State of the Union message, President Carter told Congress today that beating inflation is the nation's top economic priority, and he urged support for his proposed 1980 budget. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Carter expects his $531 billion budget plan will bring the federal deficit down to $29 billion, its lowest level in 6 years. Senator Edmund Muskie, head of the Senate Budget Committee, indicates the president has made some assumptions as to what will happen in the areas of economic growth, unemployment, and inflation during 1980.
Well, the major problem, and we all agreed as to this, is whether or not the economy performs in accordance with his projections. His projections are the best he could put together, and he has confidence in them, but the unexpected does happen. And if the unexpected produces a slower moving economy than he projected, then we may have to cut even deeper than he did in order to achieve the same deficit numbers.
Alice Rivlin, head of the Congressional Budget Office, says the president's economic projections are more optimistic than her agency's, and that includes figures for a 1980 deficit and for inflation that year. These differing views can only fuel political debate on the subject. The Congressional Black Caucus vows an all-out fight against President Carter's proposed budget cuts that will affect the poor and the unemployed. Illinois Representative Cardis Collins, the new chairwoman of the caucus, says Mr. Carter is, quote, absolutely out of step with the majority of the people in America. More news after this.
Sir, I'm here at JFK Airport to ask about foreign vacations.
I can't talk about it. It was terrible.
Oh, gosh, you have a great tan, sir, and your wife there, she looks spectacular. You must have had a great time.
I must have.
It was your fault, Harry. You had to try to bring back the bird egg.
It was so embarrassing.
And what was the high point of your foreign vacation, ma'am?
Well, it wasn't when the agricultural inspector confiscated the carton of steaks Harry blew all that money on. Well,
that must have been very exciting.
He took away my teddy bear stuffed with straw.
Oh, sir, why would he do that?
I don't know.
I know, because certain foods, plants, and animal products are restricted or prohibited.
Oh?
Why, they could bring a disease or pest to the U.S. that could cause an epidemic.
Gosh.
Even just one could.
Myrtle, did you say pest?
Uh-huh.
He confiscated a pest?
Yes.
Then why didn't he confiscate you, Myrtle?
Even one can hurt, right for traveler's tips.
A free booklet that tells you the law. Write Traveler's Tips, USDA, Washington 20250.
I'll bet my teddy misses me.
The other side took the stand today in a much-publicized California lawsuit which could set a precedent in property sharing between adults who live together, never marry, and break up. Miriam Bier reports.
Today, it was Lee Marvin's turn. He began his account of the 6-year relationship over which he's being sued. Michelle Triola Marvin claims the couple agreed to act like man and wife, but without the marriage license the actor considered destructive. Former singer wants half the actor's assets from their years together. But when Lee Marvin took the stand today, he made clear what the thrust of his testimony will be, that he had explained from the affair's beginning he wanted no more of the emotional or financial responsibilities of marriage. Where Michelle Triola Marvin had told of an intense and close relationship from the beginning, Lee Marvin today described something far less consuming. He told of intimacies in dressing rooms on the set of the 1964 movie Ship of Fools, of dates with other women early in the romance. But the biggest difference in the couple's accounts is expected to be the crucial one, over the existence of an oral agreement to share Lee Marvin's property. Miriam Bier, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Iran's civilian government is trying to keep control of its people and the heated emotions that explode into violent street demonstrations against the government. Military authorities have renewed a ban on such demonstrations and promised to step up enforcement of martial law. This after closing all Iranian airports until Sunday, an apparent effort to block a return by exiled opposition leader Ayatollah Khomeini. On Wall Street today, stocks closed higher. Volume on the New York Exchange totaled 31,440,000 shares. The average price per share up 30 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at closing up 8.23 at 854.64. Now this.
There's a laxative medicine you should know about. X-Lax pills. Overnight, X-Lax pills gently stimulate your system's own natural rhythm. In the morning, your system takes it from there, comfortably. That's the difference. Because X-Lax pills stimulate your system's own natural rhythm. For occasional use, only as directed.
Now, a powerful anti-itch drug you can buy without a prescription. Bicozine Cream, medical formula for itching. Powerful. Use as directed. Bicozine Cream.
Ooh, good morning, hon.
Hi, Mom.
What are you cooking so early?
A high-fiber breakfast, starting with sunny corn muffins.
Sunny muffins?
Sunflower seeds are the secret. The recipe's in your February 20th Woman's Day magazine, the one with the kittens on the cover.
Oh, right. It has lots of great high-fiber recipes.
And it lists all the foods that are best for fiber.
Even sunflower seeds, huh?
Right.
Mmm, these muffins are delicious.
Thanks.
What does Woman's Day suggest for a high-fiber dinner?
Pizzas, pilafs, puddings.
Pope John Paul has begun what he calls a pilgrimage of faith to Latin America. The pontiff arrived in the Dominican Republic today and was greeted by a 21-gun salute and thousands of well-wishers. Asked about a visit to the United States, the Pope replied, "I suppose it will be necessary, but just when, he didn't know." I'm Rita Sands, CBS News.
This is Harry Reasoner reporting with news and commentary on the CBS Radio Network. I'll talk about a BLT on toast, hold the transistors. First this.
Hello, I'm Fletcher Markle. Have you ever heard Vincent Price without seeing him? Or how about Richard Widmark, Andy Griffith, Cicely Tyson? They're familiar faces on the screen, and starting February 5th, they'll be familiar voices as well. These fine actors and many more are working with us on a project designed for your ears alone, and above all, your imagination. We've been busy on it for months and enjoying every minute of it. It all starts for you the week of February 5th on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
I was flipping through a 1930s Sears Roebuck catalog the other day. No, I hadn't saved one. They are republishing such things these days. Apparently, people get a pleasant sort of jolt out of looking over the kinds of things they or their parents used to buy. The prices, of course, give one the willies. But then that's supposed to be part of the fun. Ingersoll watches for $1.29, a young man's two-piece suit for $2.98, or $3.98 with vest. Records, 19.5 cents a piece when bought in lots of 10. A harmonica for 2 bits. But then something else was apparent, too. A console radio, the latest miracle of that age, went for $100 or $125. As much, in other words, as 40 serviceable suits of clothing, or 100 wristwatches, or 500 harmonicas. It's always been that way. The latest thing, the state of the art, has always been disproportionately expensive. It's always been that way, I should say, until now. In our age, miracles are less expensive, relatively speaking, than necessities. The first computers built after the war required buildings unto themselves and cost millions. Now any button-happy American can have a typewriter-sized computer for a few hundred dollars. Calculators and glowing watches, both expensive even a few years ago, can now be had in some versions for a sawbuck or two. And developments undreamed of a decade ago are now become the backbone of children's toys. More expensive than blocks, to be sure, but not so terribly out of line. Technology brings the marvelous within reach. Other forces propel tomatoes and beef and heating oil almost out of reach. Obviously, what we need to do is to set technology to work on the necessities. For a few years, of course, such state-of-the-art miracles as the electronic tomato and the computerized cow will necessarily be playthings of the rich. But within a very short time, mass-production economies will make electromechanical food less expensive than the old-fashioned grown-and-raised kind. A serious problem will be solved, and there will certainly be some unlooked-for fringe benefits as well. A steak, for instance, that will tell you when it's done, and an energy-saving tomato you can cut in the dark by its own glow. Heck, how can we call ourselves truly modern when we're still rooting for our food? And now this.
Oh, miss, I hope you can help me
no
here.
No problem. Now, how did you get this tan spot on your nice black suit?
Well, actually, the suit is tan. The spot is black. You know, I was pouring that messy black gook, you know, from the toner on the copier, and I spilled a little
a
of the...
A little.
If you don't want your copier to run up the cost of your dry cleaning, run the dry, clean copier. 3M's VQC3. Talk with the copier people at your local 3M Business Product Center. It's listed in the yellow pages.
For $25, we'll dye your suit black.
That's really not funny.
This is Harry Reisner reporting for CBS News.
CBS News, a bit of Americana, a very lucrative bit of Americana, comes to a close as the Federal Communications Commission ends Western Union's monopoly over telegraph service in the United States. I'm Stephanie Shelton, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The FCC, announcing its unanimous decision, says it decided that the public interest would be better served by allowing multiple domestic message services. And so, says the FCC, other companies may now apply to offer telegraph services similar to Western Union's. The decision, says the FCC, is expected to lead to lower prices. Controlling inflation while maintaining economic growth, says President Carter, is his number one priority this year. But in his annual economic message to Congress, the president offered few specifics, did make clear that he feels he's done what he can to reduce unemployment. The rapid decline in unemployment, he said, is at least partly to blame for the rapid acceleration of inflation. Senator Edmund Muskie, chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, talked about the president's chances of getting his budget priorities through Congress.
The mood is, I think, pretty strongly support the need for the thrust of this budget,
right.
The need for austerity, the need to try to hold the deficit. The problems are, number one, the economy, whether it will perform consistently with that objective, and number two, whether we can work out and accommodate the differences of opinion about priorities.
Both Mr. Carter and Federal Reserve Board Chairman G. William Miller, in separate messages, talked about the necessity for some sacrifices from Americans to pull inflation down. But both Miller and Alice Rivlin, the head of the Congressional Budget Office, forecast higher inflation rates than Mr. Carter's prediction. A coalition of labor, religious, senior citizen, and minority groups has formed a lobbying group called Save Our Security to challenge President Carter's proposed cuts in Social Security benefits. Said one member, the president's plan would dismantle the cornerstone of the New Deal. More in a minute.
IBM would like to invite you to a free executive seminar on small computers. A seminar that could have a profound effect on the future of your business. You see, in the past few years, computers have gotten smaller, easier to use, and less expensive than ever before. In fact, if you can afford as little as $18,000, you can afford an IBM computer. But obviously, price isn't the only factor you should consider. In addition, you need a lot more information about computers and data processing, presented in terms that business people can relate to. And that's what IBM's free executive seminar is all about. If you'd like to know more about small computers, call the General Systems Division of IBM and we'll reserve a place for you at our seminar. That's the executive seminar on small computers at your local IBM General Systems Division office. There's no obligation.
A political snub rubbed out by the White House as it revises plans for the Chinese vice premier's visit next week. Leslie Stahl reports.
It was easier for the White House to extend an invitation to former President Richard Nixon to attend the state dinner for Deng Xiaoping than it was to invite Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy. According to a White House official, the debate over the Nixon invitation did not go on very long. However, White House aides have reportedly been engaged in a heated debate over the Kennedy invitation for days. One source called it a big deal around here. Some of the president's political advisors argued that Kennedy's frequent attacks on the president's policies have been less than helpful, and that Kennedy should be punished for his political sins by being socially ostracized. Sources say State Department officials involved in the Deng visit were appalled, and one official said that Secretary of State Vance himself intervened on Kennedy's behalf. After days of going back and forth, the president's top assistants finally agreed with Vance that not to invite Kennedy would look petty. And so tonight, shortly after 5 o'clock, the senator from Massachusetts received an invitation to the dinner. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, the White House.
Pope John Paul II is in Santo Domingo, the first stop in his week-long Latin American tour. And newsman Ralph Rennick of CBS affiliate WTVJ in Miami reports from Santo Domingo that Pope John Paul has asked Cuba's President Fidel Castro for permission to land in Havana on a refueling stop when he returns to the Vatican next week. No reply known yet from Castro. Now this.
Snow. Slush. Now you've got it. A cold. Maybe the flu. You want something strong yet safe for your aching muscles, aching bones, aching head. Misery's the leading cold capsule can't help, but Anacin can. All leading pain relievers are safe for those aches and pains used as directed, but Anacin has more pain reliever than any regular strength tablet. Anacin. Safety with extra strength to relieve fever, aches, and pains of colds and flu. Use only as directed.
Boyardee. Spaghetti and meatballs.
Boyardee.
From Chef Boyardee.
It's a real Italian meal with taste appeal for all your family. Boyardee.
Your whole family will love Chef Boyardee spaghetti and meatballs. Tender spaghetti with plump meatballs, all in a tomato and cheese sauce. And you'll love the price. Still less than 30 cents a serving when you buy a 40-ounce family size can.
Boy.
Higher profits for the fourth quarter of 1978 announced today by a number of major oil companies, among them Texaco, Gulf, and the world's largest, Exxon. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials up 8.23 to close at 854.64, the big board volume, 31.5 million shares. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting with news and commentary on the CBS Radio Network. The Sears Roebuck and Company has filed suit against 10 federal agencies, saying it cannot comply with their regulations because they conflict with one another. The company, in effect, is asking that the government be ordered to get its act together. It's a highly unusual suit that raises some truly fascinating questions, and we'll look at some of them after this message.
Hi, Pat Summerall. True Value Hardware Stores decided that the best way to produce a memorable Super 7 value circular was to start out with good values and put an end to most prices. So they filled their Super 7 value circular with values on name brand merchandise with most prices that end in the number 7. For example, the Master Mechanic 16-inch hip roof toolbox is just $5.97. It features all steel construction, and the handy tote tray has a convenient socket compartment. True Value Hardware Stores also offer the Carol Cable 25-foot Trouble Light for just $3.97. There's an outlet on the handle for plugging in power tools. And the long cord means that you can take the light to your work. See these and other Super 7 values in the Super 7 Value Circular from participating True Value Hardware Stores and home centers. Save gas. You won't have to drive far for your shopping and gift-giving needs. If you're looking for values, service, and selection, you'll find them nearby at any one of the more than 5,000 True Value Hardware Stores and home centers nationwide.
Sears Roebuck claims it cannot follow government directives on equal employment opportunities because those directives, authored by 10 different federal agencies, are confusing, conflicting, inconsistent, and sometimes arbitrary and capricious. The company also contends that government policies and decisions in the past have made it all but impossible for businesses to comply with current requirements. As examples of the difficulty faced by employers, the company notes that, at the same time the government was pushing for the hiring of more women and more minorities, it was acting to extend the retirement age, allowing workers to remain on the job till age 70. The company reports that, for its own operation, that will mean more than 5,000 fewer job openings over a five-year period, 5,000 fewer chances to improve its equal employment record. Sears also offers an historical analysis of the problem, noting, for instance, that official discrimination in the armed services during World War II was followed by a policy that gave preference to veterans in hiring and education, those veterans being disproportionately white males. In effect, Sears claims that federal policies played a large role in creating a mostly white male labor pool from which businesses now are being asked to hire racially and sexually integrated workforces. And so the nation's largest retailer, with more than 400,000 employees, has filed a class action suit on behalf of all retailers with 15 or more workers. The suit asks for an injunction requiring the government to coordinate the enforcement of anti-discrimination statutes and to issue uniform guidelines that employers reasonably can follow. Now, it should be noted that this suit comes as another action is pending, this one by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, charging Sears with discriminatory hiring practices. A EEOC official has called the company's suit against the government part of an effort to defend those practices. Be that as it may, the company has touched on an issue that has been gathering steam for some time among employers. Tom Donahue, a vice president of the U.S. Chambers of Commerce, said today that whatever the validity of Sears' own position and whatever the outcome of the case, it's a long overdue challenge to a series of conflicting regulations which have made it impossible to achieve the very goals in question. The great irony in this dispute between Sears and the government, of course, is that whatever its motivation, the company is asking the court to tell the government the same thing President Carter has been telling it, which is, make sense.
I had it when I woke up this morning. Sinus, my worst ever, until I took Sinoff.
Sent for Sinoff.
Sinoff gives you all the pain relief of aspirin, plus relief from sinus pressure, congestion, even post-nasal drip.
Sent for Sinoff.
And for the fastest known form of congestion relief, Sinoff Spray, S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
The sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Is here.
For occasional use, only as directed.
This is Walter Cronkite reporting for CBS News.